Today, before we get started, let me first of all just acknowledge all those who served. If you served anywhere in our armed forces, can you just stand real fast? We want to honor you today. If you served any branch of our armed forces, past or present, can you stand up? Yeah, we salute you today, guys. And ladies, thank you very, very much. We salute you today and honor you as we remember those who have fallen and sacrificed for our freedom. And we thank those who are still living and have done the same today. What an honor today to have you with us, and we appreciate you very, very, very much. Well, today I'm going to close out this message I started a few weeks ago on the power to change, the power to change. And I promise you I'm not going to keep you very long. Will you give me 15 minutes? Will you guys give me 15 minutes? Raise your hand if you'll give me 15 minutes. 15, 30, 45, an hour. I got all the time I need right now. Okay. No, I promise I'll just keep you 15 minutes, and man, I'm going to give it to you and just kind of close out a few more practical steps today on how we can bring change to our life. We know that Jesus specializes in changing us. It's a thing we see throughout Scripture that Jesus, when he got inside of us, when things begin to happen in our relationship, encounters with Jesus, that he changed people. People changed from the inside out. He just had that effect. And sometimes people changed right away, and some people carried some infirmities and problems for a long season of their life. But either way, we know that Jesus is the change agent, but he specializes in changing our lives. And so our prayer is that maybe you've had something you've been trying to change for a long time and it never changed, and so therefore you gave up hope. And my hope is that you won't give up hope. Our hope and prayer today is that you won't lose hope, that God can change your thing, that your problem in your life, the addiction in your life, the thing that you're hanging on to, whatever it is, whether it's a bad habit, whether it's something you're hanging on to, whatever it is, something you need free of, God wants to heal that in your life and set you free. And so today, I pray that you are able to walk in that freedom. And so we've been given some practical steps along the way, looking at steps. We talked about, number one, revelation. You got to have a revelation. Paul said, I pray your eyes are filled with understanding, that we can have understanding. We got to have a revelation. We got to have a motivation. We talked about the motivation to change. You got to be motivated for the right reasons. Communication. Got to talk to God about ourselves, right? We got to learn to talk to God about ourselves. Well, when's the last time I said, God, I need to talk to you about me? There's some things really going on inside of me. Not just the urgent things that I need day to day, but what are some changes that you and I need to deal with in my life? We've got to have those heart-to-heart talks with God. What about information? We talked about information. You got to get the correct information. You got to gather information. You just can't say, I want to change. We got to gather the right information to help produce the change in our life. We spent a lot of time last week on application, that if we don't walk it out, it's going to do us no good, right? We don't want to be just a hearer of the word, but we want to be a doer of the word. We don't want to be just a hearer of the word, but we want to be a doer of the word, where we take the information we're receiving, the messages that are inspiring us, we take those and we begin to apply them to our life. Without application, it's not going to work. You can be inspired, you can be motivated, but if you don't apply it, it's not going to produce any change. The Word of God, receiving information from the Holy Spirit, taking that right information you're gathering from mentors and taking it from spiritual leaders and gathering it and then applying it to your life and walking it out, that's what's going to produce change, not just getting it and saying that sounds good. And so we got to apply it. And then we talked about elimination. And number seven today, we're going to do this right fast today. I'm going to give you a couple things really fast, and I'm going to let you go. We're going to close this out. Separation. Separation. Amos said in chapter 3, he said that, can two people walk together without agreeing on the right direction? You can't say, I'm going to walk together with you if you're thinking you're going over here and I'm thinking I'm going over there. We got to be agreed in direction. And sometimes when you're ready to change some things in your life, and God's asking you to change some things in your life, to change some directions in your life, that you gotta be paired up with people who can help you walk that out. And what happens too often is we get inspired, we get the information we need, we get motivated to make changes, and then we're hanging around a circle of friends who are walking in a different direction. We're hanging around people who are influencing us in a different direction. And so if you're going to see the change walk out in your life, you got to walk out with people who are going to inspire you and motivate you for that change. You're going to have to walk that out. I've shared many times in the past, but we got to ask ourselves this question today. You know, I made this statement this morning. I want to say it again in this service. Some people love company more than change. Some people love company more than change because we want to change, but we'd rather be in a company of people we're comfortable with. And that's the way it is. Sometimes we don't want to cut loose people in our circle that we need to cut loose in order to see change happen. And so we'd rather have those friends around us bringing security than we would to sometimes have to walk through a season of loneliness but yet be letting God change us. Are you following me? So we got to ask ourselves this question. Who in your circle of friends, inspires or motivates you to do better, to grow, or to change? You got to ask yourself that question. Who in my circle of friends, they inspire me, they motivate me to do better, to grow, to change? When God's asking me to change some things in my life, and the Holy Spirit's leading me for change in my life, who am I hanging around that's motivating me to want to follow through with that? I've shared before many times here the story, an illustration that many times in our life that early on in our marriage, my wife and I, we went through that season when we had some good friends. They were good people, nothing wrong with them, but every time we were around these certain group of friends, it was like a negative spirit all the time. And we leave there feeling so heavy in our spirit. And finally, we're finally like, man, you know, we're always so negative, you know, when I'm around them. It just weighs on me. And so we didn't call them up and say, hey, you know, you're no longer our friends. We never did that, but we slowly began to separate ourselves from them because as we did that, we began to also get around people who were speaking positive things in our life. And it began to change our marriage, it changed our ministry, and it changed our outlook and our marriage and so many things. It changed and it helped us walk out the change that God, the Holy Spirit, was already starting in our life. I was feeling stuck because I was around this all the time, and so I had to change that. I shared also that, you know, when I first went to college, that I was fresh off of giving my heart to Christ, and I had felt like, you know, that God was wanting me to go into ministry, so I went to ministerial college and began to seek out things, and I was so green, didn't know anything. I tell you, I was very, very green, and so all I knew to do was, Donnie, I wanted to hang around guys that I looked up to. Guys that some reason I was around them, they just made me want to grow closer to God. They wanted me to, when I hung around them, I wanted to have a deeper understanding of the Scripture. Around them, I wanted to have a better prayer life. Around them, I wanted to act differently. You know, and when I first got there, I moved away and got to college. I was like, God, I don't want to just hang around people. I would naturally be inclined to hang around just because I like getting along with them. Or when we have this in common or that in common, you know, and I would naturally been pulled to them. And I said, I don't want to just do that this time. As I'm making a fresh start, I want to get around people who are going to inspire me and motivate me to deepen my call to God and deepen my relationship with God. And I made a conscious effort. And even though I didn't recall them and say, hey, dude, I'm watching you, or dude, man, I'm really looking up to you, I just hung around them as much as possible. And it caused me and it inspired me to grow and to get deeper. And the people who I probably naturally hung out with, those people quit in the semester. They quit in the year. And they're right there. And I'm like, God, you know, thank you that you let me see that. You helped me get connected and planted to the right people. And, you know, in our life, when the Holy Spirit's asking us to change, we got to evaluate and say, God, walk that out. Who blocks my change? Who blocks me at that application? You know, if there's somebody, if I'm trying to quit drinking, then I need to quit hanging around people who are going to be drinking all the time. If that's my hang-up, I need to get rid of that. Quit hanging around that. If I'm around people who, if I have a hard time with gossip, then quit hanging around people who are always gossiping. If I have a hard time with a negative attitude, then quit hanging around people who have a negative attitude, because they always find each other and they always get there. And so you're going to have to make a conscious effort to say, you know what? No, I want to be around some more positive people. I want to get some of that positive spirit in me. I want to be around those people. See, change doesn't happen natural. We got to work on it. And then, number 8 here today, I want you to learn to celebrate progress. Learn to celebrate progress. It's important along the way that you celebrate small steps and success. Let me ask you a question. When God created, the very first chapter of the Bible in Genesis, we see when God created the heavens and the earth, on the first day, it says that he called out the light from the darkness. He separated the darkness from the light. And then at the end of the first day, what did he say? He looked at it and saw that it was good. After the first day, he looked at it and said, this is good. And then we see this happening after each day of creation, God looking at what he created and said, this is good. Let me ask you this question. After day one and day two and day three, was God done creating the earth? No. He went on to create many more days, right? But yet he stopped at the end of each day and said, this is good. This is good. You see, sometimes in our life, even though we're not where we need to be yet, we're not finished yet where God's taking us, and we're a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. You're a work in progress, and we're not there. Sometimes we have to just stop and baby step and say, God, thank you. Thank you, God, that I celebrate that, God, I'm growing, and I made a step this week, and I made progress this week, and I did better this week. I'm learning more this week, and I did this week, and I accomplished that this week. You know, in our life, I've often talked, you know, when it comes to husbands and wives, that, you know, when a wife is trying to motivate her husband to make some changes, the one thing you don't do is sit around and nag, right? Every wife knows this. The more you nag, the more the husband's going to shut off, right? Anybody want to say amen to that? Amen? Okay, you're in trouble already. All right, anyway. It's the truth. We don't get motivated by nagging. But when you take the small things and you celebrate them in your husband, you know, you put your 30 socks and underwear in the hamper all by yourself tonight. I really appreciate that. You laid out your own clothes and you even matched today. You did great, honey. You got such great style and taste. Oh, you're going to be the envy of every guy at work today. I mean, you celebrate the small things, and it motivates us, and it wants us to inspire to do more and do better. That's why it's important along the way that we celebrate small progress. When you're taking steps to change, even though it may seem small, celebrate that. You don't want to know why? Because you're taking time out to give God praise for what he's doing. And there is freedom in the praises. And so the more I celebrate and give praise to what God's doing in my life, the more I'm continuing to break off those bondages, those chains that are holding me back, and I'm stepping free into a new day. So celebrate it. Give God praise. Well, I'm not done yet. You're not. I'm not. Let's don't be done. We're not done. And we're not going to be done until we get to heaven. And so let's continue to say, God, I'm celebrating the changes, the progress. When you're asking me through the Holy Spirit to change some things in my life, let's celebrate it. Number nine, you got to have a determination. You want to change, you got to have a determination. Look at this statement. I want you to get this today. This is so true. You have to do what doesn't feel natural until it becomes natural. You have to do what doesn't feel natural until it becomes natural. Now, over the last few weeks, we talked about right here, when we're right here, and the Holy Spirit's speaking to us one way, into our heart and mind one way, about yielding and going a different way, and our flesh over here is saying, no, but I want to do this selfish thing, that we have to make a decision which one we're going to yield to. And always yielding to what the Holy Spirit wants to do can feel unnatural, because we're people who wants to be ruled by our flesh. Flesh is natural. Going by the Holy Spirit's surrender is not a natural thing. We got to work at it. But let me say, the more you take a step and do that, the easier it becomes, the more it becomes more natural. It's like the illustration of when we were first married, my wife, I would come home after being gone out of town somewhere, and I'd walk in and trip over the furniture in the dark, because my wife decided every time I left town, for some reason, she felt the need to rearrange all the furniture in our house. And I would come home, and the couch has been moved, and my recliner's been moved, my TV's been moved. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this woman, what is she doing? I had my kid's recliner right there, and it was the right depth to the TV. I could watch the game in the right perception. The sound angles were perfect for the surround sound to come out, and I could hear it and receive what God wanted me to have out of that game. And so, you know, I was like, what are you doing? I like the way it was. I don't like you changing things around. And I used to be really mad, you know, and be like, oh, I can't believe you changed that. You like it? No, I don't like it, you know. And then I realized, well, you know, this is her thing. I need to be a little more understanding. And so I'd come home, and I'd see that she changed it, and I'd bite my tongue. And I'd just be like, you know what? I'm just going to walk this thing out. I'm going to walk this thing out. I'm just going to be quiet. Oh, yeah, honey, this is fine. And every day I get up and not complain about it. And you know what? The more I did it without complaining, And then about a week or two later, I'd be like sitting back, relaxed, like, you know what? It sure looks a lot better this way. It makes a lot more sense played out this way. She knew what she was doing. She's got a touch for this. And the more I did what was unnatural, the more I was able to become natural, and I enjoyed it. You see, the same thing happens in our life spiritually. The more I take the steps, things that don't always feel the most comfortable to do, but I do it because the Holy Spirit's asking me to do it, and I'm yielding to it. The more I take those steps, the more natural it will become. But it's not going to be natural from day one. It's not always going to be easy. At times, you're going to have to make an intention. Say, you know, I'm intentionally going to walk this out no matter if it's not what my flesh wants to do. You got to be determined, right? You got to be determined to do it and walk it out. And the last thing today, well, I want to give you this before we do this. Look at the scripture that goes along with this in Galatians 6:9. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we will reap the harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Taking the right steps, doing the right thing, even when it doesn't feel natural to you, there's a blessing that God rewards that. God rewards when we start taking those steps and going against our flesh, and he starts saying, hey, Gene, there's some things in your flesh you need to begin to yield, stop doing, and I start doing it, I give it up, even though my flesh wants to go there, and I don't, and I start doing things he's asking me to do, even though it feels unnatural, the reward comes to the obedience. The reward comes through the submission of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me today? This is where the blessing is. Don't grow tired of falling after the thing, even if it doesn't feel natural. Falling after what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life and my life. Number 10, amen. I appreciate that, amen. All right. Number 10, the last thing I'm going to give you today. If you're going to change, this is the most important thing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me make it very clear. True change does not happen separated from the Holy Spirit. As a believer, we receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Let me say this again. We receive power, the scripture says, we receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon us. We do not do anything as far as changing, making major changes in life will not happen without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But this is what we have. This is the advantage we have over everybody else who doesn't know Jesus, is that we have the power to tap in to what the Holy Spirit, to empower us to walk the unnatural path when it seems impossible. That comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it won't come any other way. We got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Look what Zechariah says in Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my what? Spirit. Remember this. True change doesn't happen by might or by power, but by God's Spirit. This is where true change begins to walk out in our life. We have got to realize that we're not going to change separated from the Holy Spirit. Come here, Tristan. We are called to walk out. This is the Holy Spirit. I'm called to walk out my life with the Holy Spirit. And when I'm not, when he's over there and I'm taking this path of my flesh, I'm missing out on all this power that he's given me to lead, to guide, to walk the right way. And I'm missing out on it because it's not by my own might. It's not by my own power, but it's God's by Spirit. Look what he says in Acts. Acts, he tells us right here, Acts chapter 17, for in him, we live. In him, we move. In him, we have our being. In him, we move. Are you following me? In him, we move. In him, we move. In him, I live my life. In him, I now have my being, what I'm called to be. In him. And when I live my life separated from that, I'll never live my life to what God wants me to be. I'll never make the changes God's calling me to make separated from the Holy Spirit. I must realize, I must surrender that there's no other way that true change is going to happen until I continue to learn that my life is connected to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what empowers me to walk it out. It's what empowers me to walk the thing that's not natural to me, to bring the change that God's challenging in my life. I can only do it daily through the walk with the Holy Spirit. And when I separate myself from the Holy Spirit daily, I'm going to struggle daily. We will. But when I connect to him daily, I'm going to take small steps to the growth. And then daily, I'm going to move in him. I'm going to live in him. In him, I move. I mean, today, some of us need to hear it. We've heard this before 1,000 times, but right now you're picturing in your mind going, oh, duh, duh, right? How many times have I or you, we made a move and we do it on our own, and we're not bringing the Holy Spirit with us. We're not inviting the Holy Spirit to come along with. No, in Him I move. In the Holy Spirit I live. In the Holy Spirit I have my being. This is where the power of true change comes. Not by our own might, but it's by God's Spirit. This is the advantage we have. My 15 minutes is up, all right? Some of you didn't think I could do it, did you? Do you receive this today? Has this message just in the last 3 weeks helped anybody here? Have you received this? Okay. So I tell you what. Preaching to myself is something that, you know, many of these areas of my life, I'm applying to my life and having learning to apply and still applying to my life. And I know you, many of you as well. I'm asking God, Holy Spirit, to change me. Change me from the inside out. Changing me. There's still areas of my life I need to change and submit and surrender to the Holy Spirit. I hope that you're doing the same in your life as well. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet. We're going to sing this song as we close the day that says, Amazing Grace. How many are thankful for God's amazing grace, man? Yeah. God's amazing grace. The more we focus on God's grace, the more it sets us free in our life. And say, God, I thank you for your grace which sets us free. I thank you for your grace which sets us free. I want you to thank the Lord. Say, God, I'm ready for true change in my life. God, I'm ready to walk out the next season of change you're calling me to. Whatever that next season looks like, God, I'm willing to walk that through and say, yes, yes, yes. Come on, let's make it personal.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now.
You today, if you want to join me, just raise your hands. Say, Father, I surrender. I surrender to the Holy Spirit. Whatever you're asking me to do in this next season, whatever you're asking me to walk in this next season, I surrender to that. I ask you to take me and change me through the Holy Spirit from the inside out. Even when it seems unnatural, I pray that, Father, you will give me the courage to walk with the Holy Spirit. Give me the courage to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And today, Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, for so many people who are joining me today and saying, I'm ready for a season of change in our life. And we embrace that. And God, we thank you that you give us tools, you give us instruction, but most of all, we thank you give us your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in this season of change. And we say yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. One more time. Thank you guys so much. What a great day to celebrate with you. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. You guys have a great time. Don't blow anybody up with the propane grill or anything. God bless you. Have a great, great weekend.